Production of the 777X will stay home. The FAA to face an IG's audit. And to call or not to call? That's the question. This is Aero News for Monday, January 6, 2014. I'm Glenn Moyer. Members of the International Association of Machinist and Aerospace Workers, IAM, District 751 in Puget Sound, District W24 in Portland, Oregon, and District 70 in Wichita, Kansas, have confirmed that they have voted by 51-49% to accept an 8-year contract extension that includes a 2-part $15,000 signing bonus and assures the 777X will be built in Puget Sound by IAM members. In addition to securing manufacture of the 777X's fuselage and carbon fiber wings for the Puget Sound region, the agreement reaffirms Boeing's commitment to maintain 737 MAX production in Renton, Washington through 2024. Analysts estimate that two programs could account for as many as 20,000 direct and indirect jobs and billions in economic activity. IAM International President Tom Buffenbarger, who urged a yes vote in spite of local leaders' opposition to it, said, quote, "The impact of this agreement extends far beyond IAM members who voted today. For decades to come, the entire region will benefit from the economic activity and technological innovations that will accompany the production of the 777X and 737 MAX," end quote. The DOT Inspector General plans to begin an audit of the FAA's organizational structure this month at the request of the chairs of the House Transportation Committee and Aviation Subcommittee. In a document posted on the Federal Register, over the past two decades, FAA has undergone several reorganizations and structural changes in an effort to improve its operation of the national airspace system, such as the establishment of the Air Traffic Organization in 2000. The IG says the audit objectives are to determine whether FAA reforms implemented since 1995 have resulted in improved air traffic operations, reduced agency costs, and expedited delivery of new technologies, to compare the processes used by different countries to deliver air traffic services and implement new technologies. FAA reauthorization legislation is scheduled to be before the committee later this month. Senate Transportation Committee Chairman John D. J. Rockefeller IV sent a letter late last month to Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox and Federal Communications Commission Chairman Tom Wheeler, in which he expresses opposition to the possibility of allowing in-flight mobile phone calls. In particular, Rockefeller believes that allowing calls during flights would compromise the overall safety of a flight. The chairman acknowledged the recent easing of the prohibition against the use of some portable electronic devices during all phases of flight, but said that he, quote-unquote, strongly supports the DOT's decision to examine the implications of allowing in-flight calls under its Aviation Consumer Protection Authority. In his letter, Rockefeller says, quote, "During the DOT's and FCC's consideration of this matter, I encourage you to carefully consider the possibility of banning in-flight mobile calls and to fully examine all safety issues that the use of cellular voice services on aircraft may create. The ability to make a call on one's cell phone is not worth compromising the safety of a flight," end quote. Boeing plans to bring the 787-9 Dreamliner to Auckland, New Zealand in early January to visit launch customer Air New Zealand. The trip, which is contingent on weather and other test factors, would mark the international debut of the 787-9, the second and newest member of the super-efficient 787 family. From Auckland, ZB-002, the test aircraft, is scheduled to continue on to Alice Springs, Australia, where Boeing plans to conduct flight testing in hot weather. Those tests are projected to last about a week. Boeing says it's on track to deliver the first 787-9 to launch customer Air New Zealand in mid-2014. Photographs circulating on the Internet are purported to be of a new Chinese long-range stealth bomber that looks very similar to the U.S. B-2, but some are questioning the authenticity of the photographs. Grainy images appeared on a Chinese website showing an airplane taxiing on what is said to be Chinese soil, according to a report from the blog The Complex, which is focused on military issues and affiliated with Foreign Policy magazine. The person who posted the pictures said it was a stealth bomber, while others have suggested that the aircraft might be an unmanned weapons system. When Aero News continues, the ladies are ready to race. The balloons are going up and looking forward to Oshkosh.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues for Monday, January 6th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Entries for the Air Race Classic opened up on Thursday, January 2nd. The four-day all-women transcontinental air race will be capped at 55 teams this year, and collegiate teams normally make up about 20% of each year's racers. This year's race will begin at Buchanan Field in Concord, California on June 16th, and then hopscotch across the middle of the United States before ending in New Cumberland, Pennsylvania at Capital City Airport. Teams consisting of at least two women pilots must fly VFR during daylight hours only, and are given 4 days to make flybys at each en route stop and then land at the terminus. The race routes change each year and are approximately 2,400 statute miles in length. Each plane is flown in race configuration to determine its handicap speed, and the challenge for each race team is to achieve actual ground speeds as far over the handicap speed as possible. The objective is to fly your perfect cross country. In this type of race, the official standings are not known until the final entrant has crossed the finish line. Indeed, the last arrival at the terminus can be the winner. The second year of an unprecedented balloon campaign in Antarctica has just begun. The NASA-funded mission, called the Balloon Array for Radiation Belt Relativistic Electron Losses, is led by Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. The mission is unique as it relies not on one gigantic balloon, but on many smaller ones, 20, in fact, in total. Beryl's job is to help unravel the mysterious radiation belts, that's two gigantic donuts of particles that surround the Earth. The mission works in conjunction with NASA's Van Allen probes, two spacecraft currently orbiting around Earth to study the radiation belts. Well, I know it's only January, and early January at that, but already we've got Oshkosh news to report. A group in Wichita, Kansas, working to restore the B-29 bomber dock to airworthy condition, has an ambitious goal to fly the airplane to Oshkosh for the 2014 edition of AirVenture. J.T. Norman, the project's volunteer coordinator, told the Wichita Eagle that he's not making any promises, but, quote, "I think it's doable. I can't promise we'll make it, but we're sure going to try," end quote. The restoration project was undertaken in 2000, but was put on hold for a few years due to the poor economy and lack of hangar space to work on the massive airplane. The effort restarted early in 2013 after a group formed a nonprofit organization dubbed Docs Friends and acquired the airplane. Boeing donated a military hangar for the effort, and a core group of about 30 volunteers have been working on the airplane. The ultimate goal of the group is to have Doc on permanent display in Wichita and operate it as a flying museum. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.